So welcome once more, ladies and gentlemen, another episode though of the What Does It Take podcast, Monday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, unless I woke up too late to actually upload. So yeah, today we have a guest who's killing it in a space that didn't exist maybe a couple of years ago in South Africa, Gary Luyanda, and he's from the People's Fund. Introduce yourself quickly.
Hi, thanks for having us. My name is Luyanda Jafta. I'm the co-founder of the People's Fund, and what the People's Fund is an asset crowdfunding platform. And basically what we do is we crowdfund for the assets that an entrepreneur or a small black-owned business may need against the royalty or profits from their business. So a typical example is that we had a campaign called Own a Beehive, where you buy a beehive for Native Nosy for 1,200 rand. And then you can earn 36 rand per kilo of honey sold from that beehive, right? For the next 6 years. So that's typically what we finance, and that's typically what we do.
So now, just to start off on a higher gear, if someone has a business currently and they're like, all I need is some money to actually get this to a level where I can say this is going to accelerate big time. What would one need to do?
Sure. So you'd need to be in business before you can go onto our platform. You'd need to be in business for at least 6 months. But the sweet spot is 2 years, actually. That's what we're finding on our platform. Because 2 years, you've learned all the things you need to as an entrepreneur to be able to scale a business, right? And it must show revenue and revenue for that period. So you need to be past the 50,000 rand mark in terms of revenue. And you must show market demand. So basically what you need to show is, I've got market demand greater than I can fulfill. And in order to be able to fulfill it, I need to get X machinery or X vehicle or X asset that I produce my product with or my service with or I deliver with, right? And then you can come onto the People's Fund. Right.
So you're not taking any chances?
No. So one, because it's a crowdfunding platform, we're taking people's money, right? So what we do is model our campaigns based on your historical data. We don't like to guess. Guessing is where you find problems. We don't want to guess what your business might do. And also, it's great for telling us who will survive and who will not. How long you've survived on your own with no sort of funding, right? That's why we never crowdfund campaigns for people who have not been in the market yet. So we don't crowdfund ideas. There's a billion and one ideas in South Africa, even though there's only 55 million people, right? And if even 1% of those ideas worked out, we wouldn't have the unemployment problem we have. So we want tested entrepreneurs. Maybe not tried, but tested. People who've been in the market have found ways, innovative ways of actually getting to market and then saying, look, I've gotten to market, I've sold X amount, I want to sell more. You know, so we don't crowdfund ideas.
Okay, so now to trace back to someone who probably has no idea what crowdfunding is. My first interactions with crowdfunding, obviously, gave someone on Twitter saying, I need this much to go to a school, please retweet for awareness. And then people come together and send a person money. Next 2 months, we see the person, they're posting a picture with people coming together, Ubuntu-ness and all of that. And then it became more formal, more sites started popping up where people actually made their campaigns, GoFundMe. I think Candy Stick is a South African, Indiegogo is also a South African alternative for those.
Indiegogo is actually international.
Oh, it's international. Okay, so now, why did you guys then come from the aspect, businesses rather than a normal crowdfunding thing?
So first let me contextualize what crowdfunding is, right? Crowdfunding is just basically getting a group of people to support an idea, right? Or a cause or a purpose, right? Because the crowd, there's power in the crowd, right? You can get more done with too many people instead of one person, right? Now, one of the most common crowdfunding thing that we don't think about is just crowdfunding is just a stock fella that went to private school. If we could get that in people's minds, that we've been doing crowdfunding since we understood money, mm-hmm. right? I don't know a black person who doesn't know a parent or an aunt who's in a stock firm.
They all are, right? If you're feeling suicidal, some of these are not but they're just suicidal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, the idea is to take that, right, outside of a burial society mm-hmm. and also grocery societies, right, so that we can buy a lot of groceries in December.
Mm-hmm.
What we're saying is, what is the biggest problem in South Africa and how can we solve it as a collective, yeah. right? Biggest problem in South Africa is lack of opportunities. Right, lack of opportunities for people graduating, right? Those people need to be absorbed by the private sector, mm-hmm. right? Or even government, right? And we're saying, look, a large majority of people are actually employed in businesses that employ 1 to 20 people,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know how accurate the stat is, but 68% of the workforce works in industries that employ less than 20 people, like in businesses that employ than 20 people, sorry. And what we've said is, look, those are going to be entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do is we're going to turn the stock fell on its head. We're not crowdfunding to go bury someone. We're not crowdfunding to buy groceries in December, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to crowdfund to build business,
mm-hmm.
right? Some stats essay thing said black people own 3% of the economy, right? Even though they make up 85% or 90% of
mm-hmm.
the population mm-hmm. of South Africa. And we're like, that's problematic. That's an income inequality that needs to be fixed
mm-hmm.
immediately, right?
Like 20 years ago.
You know? So what we want to do is be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So how do you become part of the solution? You go to the source. The source is in business, crowdfund for businesses. Now, why we had to enter the space, generally from a South African perspective, black people are laggards or late adopters. Right?
What?
Laggards. It's a digital term.
Hey, so cool. Sure.
So there's early adopters,
mm-hmm.
right? Then there's the early majority mm-hmm. and late majority. It's actually a bell curve.
Oh, okay. Now I see what you're
saying. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. Early adopters, early majority, late majority, then laggards. Mm-hmm. Laggards are the last adopters of technology,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a technology you introduce, right? And crowdfunding has been in the country, I think, since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually an article this weekend on City Press, which we were part of, we didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these, so our direct competitor that funds only businesses.
Who's this?
Jumpstarter.
Okay.
They, according to the article, they had raised 440,000 until end of December 2016, even though they started in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at that and we went, wow, we're actually the fastest growing crowdfunding platform in the country, mm-hmm. you know. In comparison to others like Thunder Fund, who did 17 million in 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, as well,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of thing. So what we noticed is that we touched on a need at the right time. So there's a lot of, in business there's also a lot of luck, but people think about luck in funny ways.
Mm-hmm.
Luck is when opportunity meets preparation. I know that's a overused quote.
And I was going to use it too, mm-hmm. if you were not going to say it.
But That is luck. It's like we timed this very well. It's like the cries for the funding of black business have been going unanswered for a while. So we want a niche in that space.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can, because there's enterprise development that's supposed to be done by corporates,
mm-hmm.
but it's a grudge purchase and they struggle to do it or execute it effectively. What ends up happening is a bunch of incubator consultants end up chowing all of that money and saying that they developed a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
They give accounting services and website building services, etc., etc., or consultancy services, and then they say, then the corporate spends on them. Let's make an example: 20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
These people give services that the businesses didn't ask for,
mm-hmm.
or they don't even understand what the business needs.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is sit with an entrepreneur, look at their financials, right,
mm-hmm.
and go, look, this is what you're struggling to scale because of X, Y, Z. We sit and model. So that's why we actually have an application form online on the people.co.za/apply,
mm-hmm.
where that's our pre-vetting,
mm-hmm.
right? There's certain things you have to tick before you're able to even get to the point where we're interviewing you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen over 100 companies in this period, in this past 4 months,
mm-hmm.
and we've only had 6 campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of things that have to be in place in able to fund a business.
Mm-hmm.
What we're finding is that there's a lot of education that needs to go into what's required of you as an entrepreneur.
Or what form, like digital, financial, or
what you know, like the primary thing is there's no school for what makes you a business.
Mm-hmm.
People think an idea makes you a business. No, you're not a business until the first time you make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, you're an idea, right? The moment you make a sale, that's when you're a business. The moment you have a customer, that's when you're a business. Anything before that, you're just talking gibberish, mm-hmm. you know? So the biggest education that needs to happen is that, dude, go get a sale. Before anyone can listen to you, any investor, go prove that you can sell this thing. Go prove that there's a demand for this thing. You know, mm-hmm. hopefully not friends, family, right?
No, default to people who are not friends.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's where your biggest markets are. And also, another education thing is, they understand your core customer. So there's something we do through the Hookup Dinner where we do conferences with. Where we teach people how to do business model canvas
mm-hmm.
and how to do customer interviews. And business model canvas basically lays out your idea into one page. That's basically an entire business plan. It evaluates business need, evaluates your core customer, how you reach them, what are your revenue streams, what are your key resources, and all of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we test your core assumptions by forcing you to go out and go find your customers, you know? And from that process, then we can say, okay, now you've made a sale.
Yeah.
Now we can look at how can we scale this once you've made enough sales.
Okay. One thing I like about that vetting process, because the business can continue with or without you guys, if that is how you vet an idea.
Like
they need to be able to make a sale.
Mm.
So even if, let's say, the campaign doesn't go their way or they don't meet the targets, they will still be making sales, so they will still continue.
Sure. So the nice thing about the campaigns on our platform is that usually we've broken it up into multiple assets.
Mm-hmm.
So any amount we raise is going to help the business grow, firstly. Mm-hmm. But the business would survive even without us. What mm-hmm. we're trying to do is accelerate that process.
Yeah.
Right? And when we say survive, we mean it would survive slightly longer without, like, slightly longer than it currently exists.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that also happens, entrepreneurial fatigue, right?
Yeah.
After about your fourth year, mm-hmm. you're tired of your business, right?
That's depending on how many times you've been blacklisted.
Sure. But after that period, you're kind of exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the 4 years to build a system that can run itself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want an entrepreneur to be running their own business after the 4 year mark. You want them to be able to bring in competent and key personnel to be able to run the business. They could focus on product development or new sales and that sort of thing. But the business must function with or without them, because you have something called entrepreneurial fatigue, mm-hmm. right? What we're trying to do is accelerate the process of growth to a place where the business can automate its systems and processes, so that by the 4 year mark, you're not doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing your core competency, and you're making sure that everybody else is focusing on the things you're not good at, like doing your books.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big thing that entrepreneurs need to learn, is that how important your books are. Every entrepreneur we meet, their books are in shambles.
Mm-hmm.
And we luckily employ a few services from various auditors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who help with our books and that sort of things, right? And that's why we're going to have the whole process audited by SMB Accounting and Consultancy, because entrepreneurs like to sell and they do very badly at administration,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's what we're trying to help, is that ensure there's a support structure that ensures the entrepreneur can do their core competence,
mm-hmm.
focus just on their core competency, and know certain things will be covered.
No, nice. So now, one thing I want to talk about is, you call it asset what?
Asset crowdfunding.
Mm. And so now a business comes and says, oh, I'm doing this. Mm. And I'm like a guy somewhere in the world.
Mm.
And I'm like, what? I want an asset in the business or what?
Yeah, you're buying basically an asset in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always buying, not in the business, you're for the business.
Mm-hmm.
So you're buying a beehive. You own that beehive. The,
mm-hmm.
the entrepreneur is basically under management agreement with you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're basically managing your assets and giving you a royalty for management of your assets. That's okay. Primarily the concept.
Yeah. And then now, so it has returns, obviously.
Yes.
So something interesting I noticed, or I even asked this on the Facebook Messenger, mm. nice integration on that part. Like honey is what is made from beehive.
Sure.
So chances are honey is gonna, the price of honey is gonna go up.
Sure.
After some years.
Mm.
And so I was asking if then it will,
the returns will go up as well. Mm-hmm. So we pegged it, sorry, we pegged it at a definite price,
mm-hmm,
in the beginning, because, mm-hmm, we don't know what the fluctuations will be.
Mm-hmm.
But we are looking at an inflation beating increase in revenue,
mm-hmm,
right? So that at least by the sixth year, you're at least getting what's due to you.
Yeah.
Right now, it's because there's a, you need to drum in the concept, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
You need to put a figure to it, mm-hmm, right? So we say 36 rand per kilo of honey. So it's going to be hard to say 12% of the revenue, and you go, what is that? What is 12% of the revenue?
No.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So first year, we're just drumming down the numbers, and then from there, we're going to be looking at inflation beating increases to what you earn.
Okay. Then I would salute you guys for doing that, because... Mm-hmm. The thing with crowdsourcing sites, my favorite one being Patreon, if you know about it, it allows creators or anyone specifically to accept funding on a monthly basis. So I could give someone rent every month, and they facilitate getting the money to the creator, and the creator can then create content for those specific set of people. So a lot of YouTubers leave their work and just live off of money they make, and they make like a salary compared to people who make degrees.
Sure.
And recently they are having issues because they changed their payment structure in terms of charges, like who foots the bill. Since and now they're saying, me as a supporter of your thing, I'm footing the bill for the transaction, like payments from me to you, I foot that bill. So now a lot of people are saying, okay, people who are giving out little money are going to be affected, and are going to support less and less people. So that's an interesting thing, because so much of a crowdfunding platform is actually made up of all these little rules, like what type of payout are you going to make, how is that payout going to be made, and salute you guys, because now you understand that the concept, first and foremost, is a fresh one in South Africa, and a lot of people are not used to the whole thing. Some of us are reckless. I don't mind losing if I know, okay, there's a chance that, okay, this can go 50% higher.
So crowdfunding is actually a tough industry, because you have to factor in, so one of the things that make it tough is the cost of transacting. So we take 10% of whatever we raise for the entrepreneurs, and then we also take 10% of the returns, right? Whatever the entrepreneur pays out. What people don't know is that for every transaction, so if somebody buys a beehive for 1,200 rand, we're losing 4 to 6% to banking fees, right? Or the 1,200 rand. And if you do the maths, that's almost 60% of what we're supposed to get, right? As the 10%. That's the first thing. Secondly, we run our own marketing. We do the marketing for the entrepreneurs, for the platform. We pay for that marketing, right?
Another loss,
right? That leaves our pockets, right? So it's tough, but you need to find a sweet spot, and we're trying to find that sweet spot, you know, where, and the biggest thing with crowdfunding is scale, right? We're currently doing 6 campaigns. Ideally, you want on the platform to there be at least 20 campaigns running at the same time, and the people doing the marketing themselves. Now, because we're putting our heads up and we're saying, look, we're going to show that crowdfunding works, we have to do the marketing ourselves, right? But ideally, what you want is that people, like they do on Kickstarter and Indiegogo, right? They pay for their own marketing, for their crowdfunding, right? We want to get to that point where people understand that the People's Fund can't pay for everyone's marketing. And also finding hybrid systems where you work with corporates, and corporates say, look, we'll pay for a campaign as our enterprise development spend, where we'll pay for the marketing of this campaign, because this person is one of our suppliers. So we'll increase their reach and enable them to grow as a company.
Okay, no. Godspeed to that. But I also understand you're not alone. There's other two people you're working with.
So it's not people, it's companies. So it's my company.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, and there's Brown Sense. Collectively, I think we're a staff complement. We have a staff complement, or that is accessible to us, of about 10 people. So that's third is the Hookup Dinner. Right, we're currently, this is the space that they occupy through their partnership with Open Co-working Spaces, right? They do entrepreneurial development for corporates, such as SAB. They did the whole roadshow that we just saw now. even Standard Bank, they do events like the hookup dinner events where you connect and meet with other like-minded entrepreneurs. Then there's also Brown Sense, which is a group. It started as a Facebook group. Of now it's 112,000 people looking to buy from black-owned businesses, right? And also they host monthly markets on Joburg and in Cape Town. And Paybook is just a digital marketing company. We just do digital marketing. We do really cool shit in the digital marketing space. So those are the three companies. And then we also have a creative called Sizwe. He does our videos, our creative work, and all of that. He manages, and he's a corporate gigolo. He's got the connections for days in the corporate space. So he's facilitating those introductions. And that's the team compliment.
Great team. Because I've worked, or I've been in the same space as Five before. Like I went with them to Mozambique last year. And I know they have big plans, and they want to do quite a lot in terms of entrepreneurship. And I think the first time I actually met them, what they said in their presentation was that they want to put an entrepreneur in each household, and which feeds to how you started this discussion, unemployment and blah blah blah, which is what you guys wanna
solve.
So now that's already something interesting, and also Bronson's what it's doing for like entrepreneurship, because a lot of people go to that Facebook group looking for other
services,
and now they like also bringing this and formalizing it. And now the interesting thing is how you guys intersect and no fud in terms as you're saying that cause the business model principles that they teach in all the events that they hosting. Sure. Great space, great connect, and y'all are just gonna jump off. So and now I saw because the reason why I'm talking to you now is I saw the Twitter thread.
We're gonna make that a hashtag. It's just that I'm not a Twitter person, so I just did that thread to put it out there so that people understand what we're doing, right? I work most of the time, but then Clipacho was an expression, like in layman's term, what are we doing, right? And basically what we want to build is through the Brown Sense has 112,000 people. There's a joke that Brown Sense has that they get a request for a calculator post every week. Calculator post. I'll explain what a calculator post is to you. There's this bad disease we have, right, as a people, that we always go, imagine if there's 100,000 of us. Imagine if 50 Rand, each of us contributed 50 Rand, we'd have 5 million, you know, to give to and build businesses, right? And every time that's supposed to happen, the initiative just dies out, right? Because people just wanted to say that, you know, it's calculator post. You do some calculator sums and then you go, that's how we're going to do it, right? But you never do it. So one of the times I went to Africa Growth Fund, they're a stock firm, and they contribute 1,300 Rand per month as members. 300 Rand is used for admin and 1,000 Rand is used to buy assets. They've got various assets. They've even invested in Bitcoin. And the time I was going to talk to them, they were very interested in steaming up your tips, right? So they said, look, come have a chat, explain to us how this crowdfunding works and what's the return. Right, so they're a stock firm built on returns, right? Their primary aim is to build up capital for the next 5 years.
Oh, what's the name of this stock firm?
Africa Growth Fund.
Okay, sure.
And their primary aim is to create a property fund, right? Through a cooperative property fund through the stock firm, where they'll contribute for 5 years and then they'll be able to buy properties and student accommodation and that sort of thing, right? So while I'm sitting there and they go, listen, we loved your presentation, we're going to buy a stimulus beer temp, a full one. A full one is 37,000 Rand. Like, oh, okay. That's cool. And then it came back to me that why, because a large percentage of our crowdfunding was through white people, right? White people were the biggest buyers of our assets, right? But you want everyone to participate. We created this for black capital to revolve in black hands. And one of the complaints on the Brown Sense group was that, look, 1,000 Rand is a lot of money, or 1,002 is a lot of money. We don't mind contributing and donating 100 Rand. If we could, but 1,000 is a lot, you know, like, and now it's a consideration.
Okay.
So we sat there and we decided, look, why don't we do a Brown Sense stock fair, right? Where now people can put their money where their mouth is. You know, we keep talking about, let's build a black economy by doing this, right? And we said, look, the end objective is to build a black bank, right? We've got 100,000 members in brown sense, right? If each of us contributed 100,000, we'd have 10 million a month, right? That's the end goal, right? Where we're pulling 10 million a month. And what we'll do with these assets, instead of keeping them in a bank account, right, what we'll do is we'll invest them in the businesses on the People's Fund, because we've done the vetting, we've done the evaluation and all of that stuff, right, in the business. So now you know it's a business that's viable, right? And you'll earn a return. Our targeted returns is about 20% per annum. Targeted is 30, but our average is 20% year on year, right? Because it's high growth businesses, right? And this is the sort of returns that people in private equity experience, right? And that's our target, right? And basically what we did is we started it less than a month ago. This is the first month that's going to pay out and buy the assets now. And we've raised 50,000 rand for the stock fair. So each month it's going to means we're going to be raising 50,000 rand that are going to be buying assets on the People's Fund. And then the proceeds, the returns from the entrepreneurs, are going to be used to finance a black owned cooperative bank.
No, that's too nice. So now, is there a limit? More Clipper Joe or
Clipper Joe? Everyone owns the equal amount, 100 rand a month, and the joining fee increases by 100 rand every month to catch you up to how long. Everyone's gonna own the same amount.
So wait. 6 months down the line,
it's gonna be 600 rand to join, and then 100 rand per month.
6 years down the line.
We're not going to get to 6 years, we're going to end off at 5 years. But if you join in the last month, it's going to be 6,000 rand to join.
Oh, Canada. At least it's something considerable.
Sure.
So, calculator post. One thing I was thinking on my way here, even in one of the most booming game industries, like gaming, where, let's say, Pokemon Go first day, I forgot how much money it made, but it basically stopped a lot of other businesses. And they were like, why didn't we do that? So, the thing with it, in the gaming space, majority of the people play the game for free, and only like 10 or below, I think, 5%.
Way lower than that.
Are the ones that actually pay, and those people are then the one who drive the thing. Like most of the game, basically is a whale who puts money into this project. And I think that's the dangerous thing when people are making calculator posts. Like, yes, you have an audience of 100,000 people. But from those,
only X amount.
X amount. And then it becomes you trying to get the most out of
the small amount.
Now that's the tricky part, because you know, entrepreneurship, how to scale what you're doing to get more people or get more money out of it. But anyway, it's a tricky.
So thing. On the gaming thing, actually, it's interesting you should touch on it. So another thing is, like, entrepreneurs, social media is good and bad. In the sense, it's bad in the sense that it creates fantasy worlds where we look at what happens in America, right?
Yeah.
And we want to replicate it for this market, right? So Pokemon Go is a nice example, but there's information on something even bigger. Candy Crush, right? Yeah. Candy Crush is arguably the most successful game of all time.
My mother's addicted to that.
Sure. Has your mother ever paid for it?
No.
Exactly.
But we're not so offline.
So yeah, exactly.
Even the ads are not making money.
Sure. You know, that's the point, is that Candy Crush is the most addictive game known in human history, right? And at its peak, it was making a lot of money, don't get twisted, right, from the people who pay. But it's such a small market of people, right? So, and we find this in South African entrepreneurship, right? People going into industries like gaming, and you go, in South Africa, where are you going to make your money, right? Like, South Africa hasn't even digitized properly, you know? So people, I mean, there's a lot of people who say they're YouTubers in South Africa, right? And they say they make a decent amount, right? Most of them make it from Jamson becoming their sponsor, right? Which is okay, right? But I don't think we're at the stage where you can create a whole industry out of it. So there'll be maybe 30 people mm-hmm. who are making enough to survive on
yeah.
in the entire South African industry. Then the rest are making enough to supplement whatever they're already doing as a career, right? Mm-hmm. Kids in America are buying i8s with the money they make off of YouTube, right?
They're buying Teslas.
Teslas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need to separate the two industries, right? Mm-hmm. South Africa, until we solve the data problem,
yeah.
there's no internet businesses, right? When yeah. I say no internet businesses, it's a tough call.
Yeah.
The people who are going to be making the real money are the people who create the services to corporates. Who don't mind throwing down money down the drain for digital, mm-hmm. right? To do adverts and things like that, right? Apps don't make much money unless it's a core functionality. F&B is one of the favorite apps, right? The app solves their problem for transacting, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they've got a core business. It's just the app makes the core business easier. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of people building apps lately. And I'm like, no, stop building apps. Solve problems. You see, like the People's Fund as a platform, mm-hmm. right? We built that, so my company built that in like 2 days
mm-hmm.
as a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just used a bunch of plugins to make the platform work,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's not the core business.
Mm-hmm.
The core business is finding entrepreneurs. And secondly, finding people who are going to fund the entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And let's never lose sight of the technology is an enabler. It's not the product or the entire business.
Yeah. On that point, I'm an app developer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do with
mm-hmm.
Spider. And so I've had a couple of side projects where mm-hmm. I'm pushing things. And the weirdest one was for an event, yeah. Poetry and okay. Slam. So we knew the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we met the people every once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got created and all. And then now, the first user.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ladies comes to me, Utsurfu.
Mm.
Space.
Mm.
No. And then delete the Instagram. And then that's not gonna happen. No. So that's the major problem with developing apps. And there's nothing I could have done because that was the smallest app I ever made in my life.
Mm.
And I was still competing for a person's space with Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp.
So then, nobody uses more than 5 apps.
Yeah.
Nobody in the world generally uses more than 5 apps mm. on a daily basis.
Mm.
So when you create an app, you're trying to compete with that. You're going into a saturated market.
Mm.
And these are the 5 apps. Facebook,
mm.
in the order, depending on who you are. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mm. right? WhatsApp. Actually, WhatsApp would be first, right?
Yeah.
And then a banking app. YouTube's not even would not even be in the top 5.
Mm.
YouTube would probably be number 6 or 7.
Mm.
And if you're hurt for space, you delete YouTube and just watch the YouTube videos online.
Mm-hmm.
Banking, most people will get their F&B app, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes life so convenient. And then there's a bunch of games like Candy Crush that follow that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's other apps like Filter Layout, whatever for Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's secondary apps on top of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Chrome itself is an app, right? Like a lot of people use Chrome or Opera, what's it? Opera.
Opera Mini.
Opera Mini.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll use all of those apps. And then you want to replace all of those apps and become in the top 5. And you're playing marbles in big grass. That's what I tell people. Like,
mm-hmm.
what you're trying to do is counterintuitive. Build a website.
Yeah.
Then if you need to capture people mm-hmm. who are distant from you, build a website. It's more than enough.
Yeah, and the other thing with websites now, the technology has improved. Like, you can work offline, you can send notifications,
exactly.
You can do most of the things you'd be doing on
an app.
Mobile app. So, but anything else to cover?
No, we're just looking for people to come. You can go to the Brownson Stock Fair,
mm-hmm.
or you can go to the website, thepeople.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for more people to join, either fund projects or
mm-hmm.
bring in your projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd love to have them on. You know, we want to make it a community effort.
So Twitter, where should people go to look at?
TP_fund. That's TP for the people
mm-hmm.
_ fund. Same with Instagram. Facebook, it's the People's Fund. Search for that. You'll see the logo with red people standing inside a black background.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's a lot of the People's Fund all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But thepeople.co.za is the best place to start.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find everything you need. or go search for Brown Sense Stockfeller on Facebook or Brown Sense, and you'll be able to find. So the sorry, one thing to add around the Brown Sense Stockfeller. So we run that on the Stockfeller app, Stockfella, Stockfeller.mobi. They are running the, we're running the Stockfeller inside their platform, the FSB registered company, right? And basically they collect all of the money. We do it through the app, you know, 100% black owned, which is great, right? We do it through the app, so because it makes life easier for everyone to transact.
So can I use my PayPal, Moyona, or
you can do credit card, or it gives you a reference via payment. For EFT payments, right? You've got those two options. That's how you join the Brown Sense Stockfeller. And we think the Brown Sense Stockfeller is an easier way to join the crowdfunding than to pick out each campaign. What we'll do is we're diversifying the investment of the entire Stockfeller across all campaigns that are in the platform.
Okay, no, nice. So what am I? Oh yeah, back to the thread. Let me just read the tweet.
Sure.
This is basically how you said it. So about 5 months ago, says Dr. Life's Good, Muzeleke, Momzuzuki. Oh yeah, so my bad. And I sat over a bottle of whiskey discussing how we can get our platforms to rewrite the black business story. So I have a question for this. Which bottle of whiskey was this? Because it might have changed the direction of South Africa.
What was it? Was it Jack Daniels? I think it was Jack Daniels.
Wow, you guys didn't even take notes on what it was.
I think it was Jack Daniels. So, me particularly, I'm alcohol agnostic. So,
well, what does that mean?
I don't have a brand or a particular preference. Puzapela. It's like, does it taste nice? Does it go with my soul system? And then we run, you know? And I'm sort of like that also with business, right? I'm platform agnostic. It doesn't matter if it's a website, app, or whatnot. Does it do the business? You know, so life repeats itself in funny ways, right? Like it repeats itself in how you make your life choices.
Yeah.
Same with clothing. So I've got like 6 of these t-shirts. I never have to pick a t-shirt any day of my life.
No. I'm considering that. But yeah, while you were talking about the people's fund,
sure.
I was trying to look on the reflection on your shirt just to see if you wrote again a stock field that went to private school.
Now we wrote building so that it's agnostic enough for anyone to accept. We wrote building using the crowd to build the economy one business at a time.
Okay, so if you see me on Twitter wearing a t-shirt with that logo and say don't freak out, it's just me, bro. So thank you for doing the interview.
Thank you for having us,
man. And yeah, I'll be joining and I'll get all my people on it as well and
awesome.
See how well it goes. And yeah,
sure.
Everyone else, I'd recommend it. Is a own a beer still running?
Yeah, it's closing in about 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, okay. It's too late, man.
It's not too late. I mean, you got 2 weeks.
When am I gonna upload this week? The schedule. So I think I'll upload the snippet and then everyone can just.
So if you upload it in a week's time, there'll be a week left.
There's other things. December, Christmas.
Yeah, so the other campaigns that are live is My Surfer campaign, where you can buy a Wi-Fi access point and they're going to install it in. They landed a contract doing Bloemfontein for accommodation.
A what?
A contract.
No, what are they doing?
Access point, so it's basically like a router for the average everyday person. That router allows students to get Wi-Fi for free, right? They got the contract with the accommodation house. And for the contract, they'll give you R100 per month for the next 2 years if you buy an access point for R1,500.
Okay, now that's dope. That's dope. I need to talk to them because there's also something else happening in that space. Also.
Sure.
That's about it, ladies and gentlemen. It's happy Manta next week, 8 o'clock.
All right.